Episode 5, Practicals. This is the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 5 of the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. This episode is titled Practicals. We're going to be spending a lot of time talking about the very practical, tangible things that you can do as you are working through and walking out your calling. This episode is also going to have several references to the book of Proverbs, which is a very practical, very direct book of the Bible for discernment and for guiding us in certain conversations and expectations that we have of ourselves and of other people. So far we've been going through the podcast. We started off with the acknowledgement that you feel called, that we feel led to do something more with our lives. The next part was talking about listening and discernment, that you are meant to move forward in something, that there is something out there for you to do. The next part was understanding our role within the biblical call to social justice, this concept that we don't need to shy away from, but we do need to be mindful of how God wants to see that exercised here on earth. And then we talked about the purpose of family and the overarching story that God has laid out. And all of these things have been so surface level. We have not begun to dive into the depths of all that God has to say on these subjects or all that we have experienced on these subjects. But I think that this is just a really easy conversation to have, and it's one that, again, we've had with so many people. Our organization and me personally, I've had this conversation with so many people, and the questions all come back pretty similar, so that's why this podcast is being put into place. And not that we won't still have these wonderful conversations in person, but that we've at least recorded it and documented just the faithfulness that God has given in the last 9 years of our organization at Empty Frames Initiative, and the way that he has led us to practically walk out our calling. Today, as we talk about practicals, we're going to go into three different things. The first one is just the acknowledgement that we all need to learn. It is a humbling process, but as you are looking at ministry, as you are looking at calling, if you feel led in a certain direction, it is really important that we humble ourselves to reality and learn. And I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, unless you are my family or friends, like that I know in person in real life, then you're probably already very comfortable with the idea of learning and investing time into the conversation around the population you want to serve. It doesn't really matter what the population is. If you're looking at doing homeless ministry, if you're looking at doing foster care, if you're looking at doing couples counseling, if you're looking at any sort of calling because you felt that God was asking you to do something more in your life and invest into this other place, you're wanting to learn, right? And so there's a couple of places to start. And the first thing is to learn about the need. I've met a lot of people who have a cause that is close to their heart because they have their own personal experiences. And while I really do value the concept of lived experience expertise, and it's so needed, when we are able to kind of look outwardly and kind of humble ourselves, we can know that even though we are the expert of our experiences, the larger group that we are looking to serve will have a variation of those same experiences. So the next thing is learning about the population, who's in it, what kind of structure led up to the need that you are trying to meet, and how does that affect the way that you are going to respond to it. Another place that you can invest in learning is about the overlapping experiences. For Empty Frames Initiative, when we first started, we were looking at orphan care in general, and then it became more specific to aging out. And then as we were looking at aging out as a concept, that overlapped into homelessness, addiction, incarceration, unmet graduation requirements, and human trafficking, and all of these things were the really glaring ones. But there's so much more to it, and until you really stop and learn why these overlapping experiences happen, you kind of miss places where your ministry can go deep, where your ministry can really invest. And this isn't, I know I keep saying your ministry, this isn't intended to be a how to launch a ministry or how to launch a nonprofit. It's how to walk out your specific calling well. So again, maybe you're working with a disability ministry. Maybe you are going to partner up with your church and start a VBS for your neighborhood. It could be anything. But you're still going to want to learn and understand why there is a need that you are filling. And in this process, you are going to learn a lot about yourself. And it is a humbling experience. It is a worthwhile one. And as you learn more about yourself, you're going to learn more about Christ and his call and his love and compassion for you. So it's exciting. But the first thing about the practical is be willing to learn and embrace the humility that comes with that. Proverbs 15:32-33 says, "He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." The next step that I would encourage you as you are looking to do what God is calling you to do is what we call community mapping. Essentially, you feel led to ETS, and you're going to look that up in your area. That might be talking to your church. It might be typing it into a Google search. It might be asking someone that you know that is needing that service and assessing who around you is already doing that in part or in whole, and how can you come alongside and offer your uniques. So technically, community mapping is still learning, but you're specifically learning about the resources available, and you're being intentional about how you want to serve in your own unique niche. In this process, you get to find partners and find people doing adjacent work. It's really important. Again, you and I, we cannot do everything. It'd be really cool if we could, but we can't. So it's important that we do this process of community mapping so that we can say, when I have to tell a client or a friend, no, I'm not able to, that I'm able to go, but you know what? I know three other people who could, and you refer them out and you do the same for them. When they can't meet the need that you're doing, you're able to meet that need for their clients. And it's a beautiful relationship to have with other organizations, other people, other counselors. Wherever your role is, it's a really wonderful thing when you have a strong community network. I would encourage you to be prayerful in this stage and discerning. There are a lot of people doing a lot of work, and there are a lot of well-intentioned people, but we have to understand that our role, if we are serving to meet a vulnerable need, then we have to kind of be protective of the people that we refer out. So try to be discerning, pray through it, weigh the cost of partnership. Not every partnership has to exist, but it is a beautiful thing when it can. So if there are things that are non-negotiable, know that up front. We are never going to have to compromise our Christian faith. Sorry, I should reword that, because you may be asked to compromise on your faith, but that should be a non-negotiable. You may be asked to not do ministry. You may be asked to not do prayer. You may be asked to do certain things. And there are times when you are going to be able to walk things out, discreetly, not in hiding, but discreetly. Joseph interpreted dreams, but he gave glory to God. Daniel interpreted dreams, and he gave glory to God. But they were known for these things, and they were known for their faith. And so if you are bringing something to the table and they know you for that, and then you're able to wrap it up with, and God gave this to me. Those are the things that you have to learn if you want to do or not. And you have to pray through it. And you got to be willing to hear what God says. And just like we were talking about in the episode on listening, go through scripture, see what God has to say, see what you feel convicted about, talk about it with other people as you are moving forward in partnership or not. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The last part of this that plays into that is to surround yourself with support. You cannot walk out calling alone. You need a support system. This is another very practical point that I tend to be a little bit resentful of. I would like to be completely capable of doing everything by myself, but that has never worked out. And I'm very thankful for the times when God held me back until there was support ready. When our organization first started, I had this really, it's hard to explain the amount of times that it's like, well, that was just God, but I was accepted into a school for nonprofit business leadership. And I took a class on starting a nonprofit. I shouldn't have been allowed to take that class. I was technically coming in as a freshman and they let me go ahead and take a either junior or senior level class. And through it, I met a nonprofit attorney. We put our 501c3 together. We put our articles of incorporation together. It came together so beautifully. But one of the pieces that happened during that class was this harping on the concept of having a board. And I really didn't want to have a board of directors when our organization first started, because I was like, that's a lot of work. People are a lot of work sometimes. And I was looking at the organization from a strategic building phase, having worked with people who navigated it from the entrepreneurial mindset of, like, you know, go quick, do it this way, build out. And I thought that that was going to be the direction that Empty Frames Initiative would go. It seemed really ideal. But there was a pause moment as I was taking this class and this reconciling of, do you want to do it well or do you want to do it fast? Do you want to go the distance with this or do you want to do it so that it's done? Like just however that comes out. And after listening to that conviction and dealing with myself, I enlisted my parents and my pastors, and I was like, can you just help me get a board together, because I don't even know who to ask. I don't even know who would be able to help me with this. And they did. They helped me put together our initial dream team board that were just there to stand alongside and do the visionary piece of building a nonprofit. And it was so wonderful. And it is hard when you work with other people. But it's worthwhile, and it provides a lot of protection. Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And that was a verse that was really up front again in our ministry, that one and the one that we shared at the beginning, which was just the, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, Psalm 90:12. And it was a balancing act for me because I was like, I have so little time. And it's funny to think about that 9 years later and realize that God had his own plan. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful for the people who encouraged me to pause and put up the safety of wise counsel. So I would encourage the people that I've talked to afterwards, don't try to go alone. And it was needed the first 5 years, right? The first 5 years, having that team was very cool. It made us more official. It allowed people to see that we were trying to do things the right way. And then the next 4 years, it was a a life preserver when things got difficult. It was the people that I could call and know that they understood that I was trying, that our organization was working, that we were trying to do something that we couldn't even really share with people beyond just, hey, we're doing some difficult work. You're still serving youth aging out foster care, and you're working with us with individuals who have experienced human trafficking, and I can't give you stories, but I can give you the check-ins that we are moving forward and we haven't gone anywhere. So having people around me that I could trust with the more difficult pieces of that, of those chapters, was so important. All right, so those are all of the thoughts on some really upfront practicals before jumping into ministry, as you're jumping into ministry or work, or even the really small things. And I guess I just feel like I should stop and say this before we wrap up the episode. There are people whose calling is to be evangelists. And if you have just been looking for a little bit of encouragement that you can walk out that calling, let this be it. You can. You have an incredible job, a worthy one, and it may not look like quite like the practical instructions or, you know, suggestions given here that are very, again, surface level. But if you're just wanting to affirm, yes, I should be walking out my calling, I would still encourage you to take these things. Keep learning. Keep getting into the Word, right? Learn about how God wants us to do evangelism. Do community mapping. Learn where it is. Honestly, Paul did look at the community around him, and he went where God said. And he knew the people that were in those places, and he knew where people needed encouragement, and he knew where people were that needed an evangelist. And it still applies. And surrounding yourself with support. If you are taking on a commitment that you're going to do whatever, I'm trying to think how an evangelist normally goes about it. I've always heard people saying, I'm going to minister, I'm going to share the gospel with one person this week. And I was like, that's such a crazy thing. And you're thinking that's not enough. That is such a crazy thing. That's such an amazing, beautiful thing. Surround yourself with support to hold you accountable to that beautiful thing. And know that that is such an incredible calling. So grateful for the multitude of callings that are laid out in the Bible and in Scripture, and the people that I've met who are fulfilling each and every one of those. You're awesome. I'm excited to get to meet you. Please do. If you're listening to this for real, go ahead and get on our Facebook group. Let us know how we can encourage you in your calling. We are so excited to be your support system. I am on there. And I would love to pray for you and encourage you in whatever your calling is right now, and walk that out with you. So here are the resources for episode 5. I'm going to encourage you to read Proverbs 24. If you're feeling ambitious, go ahead and read all of the book of Proverbs. It's a great place to go. I'm going to do a shameless plug for our book, The Story of Foster Care, Volume 1 and 2. These books both point back to the bigger picture of the foster care system, and it's a good example of community mapping and then also learning the population. And the last one is the song called Whatever You're Doing / Something Heavenly by Sanctus Real. Thank you guys for listening. I'm excited to talk to you again in the next episode. Thanks.